What a great day to be in the house of the Lord, to hear God's word, to know that we are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that nothing can separate us from his love, that no matter what happens to us in life, we're never abandoned, never forsaken, always lifted up by the presence and power and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And we need the truth that sets us free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. This is Isaiah 40, verse 3. Go ahead and look at it. It should be up on the screens. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. We are still in the middle of a sermon series called The Great I Am. And of course, the text I just read says, Jesus said, I am the way and the what? Truth and the life. Now, for me to preach on all three of those, we'd be here for an hour and a half. So I'm going to be talking just about one, where Jesus said, I am the truth. And oh, by the way, there's not any sermon notes on the end of the aisle, but what you can do is get those out in your news and notes today. There's a little section right there where you can write down some of the things that we talk about today to help you remember. You've heard me say this before. We remember so much more, not only when we hear it, but when we write it and when we talk about it. So you're hearing it today. You're writing some of these things down, and I encourage you to talk about this with your family and friends after the service is over so that hopefully it will stick. Jesus said, I am the truth. It was Good Friday morning, and Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate. And it was now his time to speak, and he said these words, I have come to testify and to give witness to the truth. Those who listen to my voice are embracing the truth. Jesus was saying, I am the epitome of truth in your midst, Pontius Pilate. And Pilate probably stopped for a minute, stroked his beard, and ask this very pertinent and important question that many people ask to this day. What is truth? What is truth? It's a good question, isn't it? Maybe you sometimes say, is there any ultimate truth found in this world around me? Is there something I can rely on and bank upon and trust in? What is truth? I don't know about you, but the more I go along in life, the more cynical I become about what I hear. And I become more jaded about the news. Maybe you do too. That phrase, fake news, is all around us today. And sometimes when I turn on the TV or I open up the newspaper, I go on social media, I wonder, is what I'm reading, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, is this really true? Maybe you're surrounded by untruths as well. You go to a secular counselor, and the secular counselor tells you things that you know really don't quite sound right. And you can't really put your finger on it. You really can't identify why. But what that secular counselor has told you doesn't seem accurate. Or you open up a self-help book that is not based on the Word of God, and some of the advice you get in there just seems incongruent with what you've been taught. Or you have a conversation with an unbeliever, and the unbeliever tries to give you advice, and the advice that that person gives you simply is not what you know to be true. As a matter of fact, it's contradictory to what you know to be true. Or you turn on the TV and you watch a talk show host in the afternoon who isn't necessarily a Christian and has all kinds of people on their panel spousing their wisdom, talking about the things that they know. And so much of what you hear is not congruent with what you know. And you say to yourself, is what they're saying true? Is it accurate? Is it congruent with what I know and what I believe and what I've been taught? And then we have people like the Pope today who says, hey, it doesn't matter what you believe. Hindus and Buddhists and Mohammedans and Jews and Christians, we all believe in the same God and we're all going to end up in the same place. And you hear that and you say, really? Is that true? Or we hear today that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle. And, you know, it's really not a baby inside the womb. It's just a fetus, an embryo until it's born. Then it's a baby. And we hear stuff like that and we say, I'm not sure about that. Now, all these entities collectively would say, there is, listen to this, this is really incredibly important, I don't want you to miss it. All these different entities would say, there's no ultimate source of truth. You can't turn to one source or another and say, this is true and that's not. And I want to ask you today, do you believe that? Do you believe that there's no ultimate source of truth? That all these different issues that we face in life, that there's not any final authority, any final say, any ultimate truth? If you believe that, then Jesus Christ and his word begs to differ. I love what Jesus says. It's really powerful. It's our next screen, and it says this. This is Jesus in John chapter 8. And this is what he said, John chapter 8, verse 31. Please leave it there. There we go. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, and by the way, I want to stop right there. What does the word abide mean? It means to dwell, to be enveloped in, to camp under, to be under the umbrella of. To abide in the word of God means to say, this word that God speaks to me is the final authority. It is the ultimate truth. And what Jesus is saying is, if you abide in that, if you live under that, if you trust in that, if you're living under the influence of that word, if you abide in my word, you are truly my what? What's it say there? Truly my what? Disciples. In other words, followers of Jesus understand there is a final authority, and this word, the Bible, is the final authority for life. And Jesus is saying, if you live under this, if this is the guiding principle for your life, if you've built your life around this word as one of my followers, you're truly one of my disciples. And then he says, you will know the, go ahead and look at it up on the screen, you'll know the what? The truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. Woo. Powerful words. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying there is one ultimate truth. And Oprah and all these different talk show hosts that we see and the stuff we hear on the radio and getting social media, they can say all they want. They can say there is no ultimate source of truth. You determine what's right and wrong. You determine what's fair and foul. You determine what's sinful and not. But Jesus said it differently. He said, this word is truth. John 17, 17. Go ahead and look at that. Holy cow. How powerful is this? Jesus is praying. This is the day before he's crucified. This is what we call the high priestly prayer. He's praying for his disciples, and he's praying for all people down through the course of history who trust in him. And he says, sanctify them in the what? Truth. In other words, help their life to be conformed to this word. Sanctify them in this word. And then he says, your word is what? Truth. Allen Iverson, who was a great basketball player years ago, said, I am the truth. Can you believe he said that? Jesus said, I am the truth. So Jesus in our text says today, I am the truth. What does that mean? That he is the truth. You see, we can talk about holiness, obedience, righteousness, purity, all these different things. Jesus didn't just talk about it. He epitomized it. He embodied it. A person can talk about truth. Jesus lived the truth. And so if he says, I am the truth, I am the source of truth, when you come to me, you know truth. When you trust in the promises of God's word, you know truth. If you hear things out in the culture today that is contradictory to what you know, the reason it's contradictory to what you know is because you know the truth. And you've been brought up in the truth. And you've built your life upon the truth. I said this before and I'll say it again. I said it in the 8 o'clock service. Anything that we hear out there in our culture today that is contradictory to this word is a lie. And guess who the source of all lies is? Satan. He's the father of lies. So let's test that just for a minute. The world says, Satan says, you're an accident. You're here by mistake. You somehow came out of the slime, received your DNA from a monkey. You're an accident. The Word of God says you are fashioned and molded by God Himself inside your mother's womb. The world today says that your identity is found in what you do for a living. The Word of God says your identity is found in who you are in God's eyes, that you're a child of God. Yes, I am, we just sang. The world says, if you want to be happy, just live a nice life. The main purpose of life is to be happy. The Word of God says the main purpose of life is to know Jesus, to honor Jesus, and to make Jesus known in your life. The world says you got to live together before marriage. The Word of God says, save yourself for the night of your marriage. The world says there is no moral code for ethics today. The Word of God says the moral code is revealed in the Ten Commandments, and that's how life ought to be lived. The world says there is no life after death. The Word of God says there is life after death, and only believers in Jesus Christ have it. Amen? Do you see how the world and the Word oftentimes is contradictory? Because we have the ultimate truth in Jesus Christ and His Word. Let me say that again. We have the ultimate truth in Jesus Christ and His what? Word. I pause for dramatic effect. I want that to sink in. Because we're surrounded by all kinds of half-truths and blind truths and truths that aren't rooted and based on the Word of God. And we need to know that the Word of God is the ultimate truth. And the source of that word, Jesus Christ, is the ultimate truth. My car got rear-ended about 2 months ago. And we were just, my son and I, and our dog was with us actually that day. We got rear-ended. We were at Huron and 104th, and this trucker just wasn't paying attention. He was texting or whatever, and he ran right into us. And, of course, they said that they'd pay for it and all that kind of stuff. It took me like a month to find out who their insurance company was. But amazement of amazement, their insurance company said, we're going to pay for it. Don't worry about it. And they did. It was amazing. The car rental place, Enterprise, they said, hey, you know, drop off your car at the body shop and we'll pick you up on time. And they did. It was amazing. Customer service. They said, we really pride ourselves in customer service. They treated me like a king when I got my rental car. It was amazing. This is rare. But telling the truth, honesty, and decency is not rare with God because God doesn't lie. As a matter of fact, my grammar teacher is not here today. I like it better by saying, God don't lie. Simpler. I know it's bad grammar, but God don't lie. If God says that you were made inside your mother's womb and you are the apple of His eye, you can go to the bank on that. You can trust in that because God don't lie. If God says that your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ who died in your place on Calvary's cross, you can count on that because God what? Don't lie. If the body and blood of Jesus Christ is offered in this meal for the renewal of our faith, the strengthening of our soul and to convey to us the forgiveness of sins, you can believe that because God, you say it with me, God don't lie. Say it with me. God don't lie. He doesn't. His word is truth. Jesus never lies to us. If we have a covenant relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith was bestowed upon many of us in the water of baptism today, we can believe that because God don't lie. If you're facing challenges and struggles in life, and you wonder, do I have to face them alone? You can be assured and confident that Jesus will accompany you and give you strength every moment of every day. Why? Because God don't lie. And finally, when Jesus says he's coming back and he's going to make everything new and we'll be with him forever and we'll have everlasting life in his presence, we can trust in that, we can believe in that, we can be embraced by that truth because God don't lie. Man. Somebody said, uh-oh. Probably think he's going to have a heart attack or something. Okay. No, man, I believe this stuff with all my heart, man. I know some of you say, man, you get too excited. I can't help it. Man, this stuff is awesome. This is life-changing stuff to me because we are bombarded by untruths out there all the time. Untruth, 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 untruth. Every lie comes from Satan, right? I mean, here's another big one we tell our kids today, or the world tells our kids today. You're really nothing unless you're successful, unless you're pretty, unless you're popular. And a lot of kids' merit and self-worth is determined by how many friends they have on Facebook. I want to tell you that God loved all of us so much, he was willing to give his very best. And his very best was the gift of his son. And Jesus Christ would have died for each and every one of us just individually if we were the only person who ever lived on the face of this earth. That's how much he loves you. And how do I know that? How can I believe that? I know that because the word of God tells me, and God don't lie. So we have to have some application points. You know, this has all been good. Okay, we understand that Jesus is the truth, that the Word of God is truth, that oftentimes what we hear out there in our culture is not true. We compare it to the Word of God, and it tells us that it's a lie. But then what are the application points, Pastor Dave? How can I take something home with me? And this is what I really encourage you to write down, these two truths. Number one, look to Christ and his Word as the ultimate truth. Not Facebook, not social media, not talk show hosts, not Oprah, not Rush Limbaugh, not any of those folks. If you're wondering what is the ultimate truth, look no further than the Word of God. And when you hear something in discussions or on the media or on TV or in radio or in a movie or whatever, and you think, man, that doesn't sound right, be like the Bereans who, when St. Paul came into a town called Thessalonica, they compared to what he was preaching to the Word of God, and what validation did they have? They said what Paul is preaching is true because he's preaching the Word of God. So look no further for the truth of our culture today than in what the Word says. And if you hear something out there today that doesn't sound right, look it up in the Word. And with Google, it's easy. You know, it's easy to find stuff in the Word of God through a computer. You can do it easily, or through your iPhone. I mean, it's easy. So if you hear some half-truth out there that you're not sure is undergirded in the Word of God, it's probably not, but go to the Word just to validate it. And that brings us to the second point. Dig into Christ and his truth as the ultimate truth. Dig into Christ and his Word as the ultimate truth. Many of you remember the Kirchers from our congregation. They moved to Wisconsin, so they were here in the glory of Colorado, God's country, and they moved to Wisconsin. I don't get that. Now they have family back there. But one of my son's best friends is their little boy by the name of Tanner. And so we're up there for a family reunion. And on our way back to the Twin Cities to fly out of the Twin Cities, we told the Kirchers we would stop by and spend some time with them. And so I spent time with Wayne last Sunday night. We were together for about 4 hours. It seemed like 4 minutes. Do you know why? Because Wayne loves Jesus. And he loves God's Word. And he said, man, Pastor Dave, he said, I remember you talking about being in the Word and spending time in the Word and meditating on the Word. And he said, I'm there. I spend a lot of time in the Psalms. And the Psalms speak to me and minister to me and they convict me and they comfort me and they guide me and direct me. It's amazing what you derive from the Psalms. That's the power of God's Word, you guys. Some of you have said, well, the Bible is boring. You know, I got started reading, you know, through a chapter a day, and I ended up in Leviticus, and I kind of stopped. You know, here's what you do. Go to the Psalms, go to Proverbs, go to Ecclesiastes, applicable stuff, spend time there. And I've shared this with you before. When people come to Colorado, do a lot of people spend time in Burlington or Lyman when they come to Colorado? Do they? Yes or no? No, because it's boring. Where do they go? They go to Breckenridge. They go to Vail. They stop and camp out there. All the Word of God is inspired by God, no doubt about it. But the best places to abide, to camp, to reside, Psalms, Proverbs, Mark, John. I don't even tell people anymore to read John first. Because there's a lot of theological stuff in there that's pretty heavy. In my life group on Thursday morning, we went through the book of John. It took us like 4 years to get through it, you know. I mean, there's some heavy stuff in there. Read Mark, read Psalms, read Proverbs. But when you find something interesting, kind of like heading into the mountains, stop there, camp there, reside there, meditate on that, and let God speak to you. You know what else? Some people say, well, you know, what's a good summary of what the Bible really is all about? Anybody know what this is? This is Luther's Small Catechism. You're Lutherans. You should know what this is. Okay, the Luther's Small Catechism. It doesn't get any better than this. Everything you'd ever want to know about the things of God is found in this little book. Get it out. Dust it off. Open it up. It's powerful. It will recalibrate your soul. Refocus your direction. Refocus your mind and attention on the things of God because there's gold in this. This is just a compilation of the Word of God put in various categories so that it makes sense. You can spend time in this. It's just another way. And then, of course, we have life groups, we have Bible studies. You can learn so much from other people. The best day of the week for me, spiritually speaking, you're probably saying, oh, it's Sunday when you preach. Not at all. I'm really kind of an introvert. I don't necessarily like people looking at me when I preach and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of in the zone. But really, this is not the highlight of the week for me. You know what it is? To go to my life group on Thursday morning. I never miss unless I'm out of town. Because Stormy is there and Dave is there and Gary is there, and Mike is there, and those guys just feed me with the Word of God. And after I get out of there, I feel like I'm a world beater. You know? Come on, Satan. Let me have it. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus who lives in me. Greater love hath no man than he that lays down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ did that for me. Greater is he that lives in you, namely Jesus Christ, than he who is in the world. And you see, when I get together with Christian men on a Thursday morning, I am undergirded, I'm encouraged, I'm strengthened in my walk with Jesus because we're on the same team. We're arming ourselves with the Word of God. We're linked together arm in arm by the Spirit of God, and it's powerful. So there you go. Dig into Christ and his Word as the ultimate truth. By the way, keep doing what you're doing today. Make it a habit. Just as not going to church is a habit, so is coming to church also a what? A habit. 15 years ago, people said, I'm a regular church attender. They went 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. 15 years later, regular church attenders, they say, go to church once a month. That means 3/4 of the time they're not hearing the insights and direction from God's Word. As Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate asked this word, what is truth? And there he was, the very embodiment of truth, epitome of truth, right in his midst. Many of you remember the movie, I think the name of it was Men of Honor, I'm not sure. But there's a crucial scene in that movie where Jack Nicholson is being peppered by Tom Cruise, an attorney, and they're talking about the truth. And you might remember this inevitable line by Jack Nicholson, who said these words, and I'm going to try to imitate him. You can't handle the truth. You know what Satan is saying to us today? I'm going to keep feeding you with lies, lie after lie after lie, because you can't handle the truth. Last week we sang it, week before we sang it, run, devil, run. And why does he need to run? Because we got the truth. And we embrace the truth. But not only do we have the truth of this, we have this. And these two things, this and this, is our ultimate source of truth. Amen.